I am Shruti and you're listening to Business of Brands podcast. Welcome to Business of Brands podcast. Our guest today is a mental health enthusiast and a professional. Her name is Anamika Kanchanbaras and she is a psychologist who is on a mission to offer comfort to those who are suffering with mental health issues via her initiative called Let's Heal. Anamika likes to call herself a work in progress since there is still so much to learn and explore every day. She's a reader, she's a writer, she is an actor and a vlogger. Her social media presence and her life is all dedicated to Let's Heal. Anamika, I welcome you to this podcast. Without further ado, let us get to the first question. So tell us something about your educational and cultural background. What led you to this field where you are today?
So back in 11th and 12th, I had commerce as my subject to study. I had commerce with maths. I wanted to take humanities, but it wasn't offered in my school. So I settled with commerce, which I really enjoyed. But I knew that it wasn't my calling. I always loved English as a subject, so in graduation, I went for B Honours English, that is English Literature, and I did that from Delhi University. And eventually, I joined Masters in Applied Psychology for my post-graduation. That happened because I was taking therapy for myself, and my therapist thought that I would make a good therapist. So she suggested me to go for it. I was very skeptical, because I didn't have any confidence in myself back then. But then through her push and through my parents' support, I finally went for it. And it, you know, proved to be fruitful. And to answer why I chose this field, well, because I suffered from mental health issues for the longest time in my life. And I saw, you know, a very, very, you know, evident lack of awareness and support. And I knew that there are millions of people suffering in silence, fighting silent battles like mine. And I thought that maybe I could contribute to it somehow, which is why I first started making content about mental health online. And eventually I joined the field as a professional. So yeah, that's how I ended up here. So now my, you know, only intention is to, of course, provide awareness and support through my content on mental health online. And then also to provide something more substantial, that is professional help, by providing people therapy, since I'm a trained professional in the field.
That was really interesting. So would you like to run us through a day in your life? Tell us about your work, about yourself, your lifestyle. What does a regular day in your life look like?
So an average day in my life is very COVID specific, lockdown specific right now. I take sessions virtually, either on video or audio calls, depending on the preference of the client. My mornings are usually very slow and intentional. That's how I like them. So I journal in the morning. I meditate sometimes, although not daily. I'm working on that. I journal and I love having chamomile tea in the morning and just, you know, sit with my thoughts and relax, kind of unwind. And eventually I start my day with afternoon sessions, then evening, late night. The timings differ again from client to client because some are students, some are in, you know, full-time jobs, some are housemakers, some are stuck at home and they don't have enough privacy. So we have to take care of a lot of logistics that way. And once I'm free from the sessions, again, I unwind with, you know, chilling. So music, TV shows, movies. Again, you know, it's very important in my profession to work on my mental health and take care of it at the same time. I cannot let all of the overwhelming energy that I get from my clients again, you know, get to me, because then I'll not be able to help them. So it's very important to have that professional detachment so that I can be, again, a sound professional and help people the way I need to. So right now it's just that, you know, a bit of work and a bit of chilling. Before the lockdown, it was a lot more, you know, out there, because even in the field, I was getting trained in the hospital. Meanwhile, I was finishing my degree and all of that. But now, although hectic, it's at least happening in my own space. So yeah, nothing fancy or, you know, out of the box, but I like it the way it is right now.
Would you like to share the perks and challenges of being in this field with our listeners?
I think the perks of being a therapist could differ from person to person based on their preference. I personally really enjoy the ability to be able to work from home. I think I find it very convenient. And the fact that I just need a Wi-Fi device and a smartphone to make that happen seems almost magical to me. That I can make a difference and also make a living, you know, in such controlled and, again, convenient environment. That is my house. I think another perk would be that you get to live and experience so many lives at the same time, right? Because such diverse people come to you with such interesting stories, the good, the bad, and the in-between. And if you're able to empathize with them and help them, you're also at the same time getting to learn so much and live so much through them, you know? As long as, of course, you don't confuse it with your own life and you don't cross that personal barrier, that's very important. Other than that, I think, you know, it's a very interesting field. You get to meet people and talk to them and have all sorts of conversations every single day. I mean, you tell me what other profession allows you to do that. I think apart from acting, not many other professions. So yeah, I really cherish that. And I personally also am passionate about acting. And acting works on the principle of empathy. And so does therapy. Now, of course, there's a lot more to both the professions. But I personally think that, you know, my personal interests, that is art and literature, also align with psychology. So for me, it's a very good blend of all that I'm passionate about. I think another perk is that it gives you a sense of satisfaction. So it's not just about the money, at least for me. You know, it gets very overwhelming sometimes when you hear people who have gone through so much in life. But at the end of the day, it always feels good because you are able to add some value to them and help them move from point A to point B. And that serves a purpose for me. There are a lot more perks, but I don't think we have enough time to discuss them. As far as the challenges are concerned, I think in India, money is a challenge when it comes to being a therapist because you can't quote high fee because of how much financial struggle we have in the country. And secondly, there are not enough jobs and not enough well-paying jobs when it comes to therapists, right? So we are still, I think, in the preliminary stage of making a living out of being a therapist in India. So if anybody wants to come into this profession thinking that it'll be lucrative, I'm sorry, but you might be disappointed, at least not in the beginning, per se. You know, you might need to take some years to get yourself established and then start earning a decent amount. But again, if that is not your priority, if that is not the major concern, then even that should not be a challenge.
I am Shruti and you're listening to Business of Brands podcast. It's a very interesting and responsible field that you're in. Would you like to share any amusing anecdotes with our listeners?
Oh, there are so many anecdotes to be shared, honestly, because again, I've been doing it every single day for a long time now. So itne saare hain that I'm not even sure that I can even recollect them at this moment. But a recent one I remember is, you know, with this client I have, she has been through child abuse and she has seen a lot. She is suffering from childhood trauma and multiple issues. And it's been a major case for me. It's been difficult. It's been challenging. With the way this girl has healed and transformed over the past 1.5 years has been magical to witness. And again, I feel good that I was able to help her do that. We still have a lot of work to do because usually with child abuse cases and childhood trauma in general, therapy goes long term, like it can go on for years, even as maintenance, right? So the other day we were discussing how she doesn't like to, you know, dress up much, how she doesn't feel the need to put on makeup or groom herself and, you know, put in the extra effort. And she used to say this earlier also, and I knew the actual issue, but I didn't say it, you know, initially. But eventually I told her that the reason why she doesn't dress up or groom herself too much is not because she doesn't like or she doesn't care. The reason is that she doesn't want herself to feel desirable or attractive to other people. And that is because she was violated as a child. So her mind, in order to protect her, has created this narrative that, oh, it doesn't matter, so you don't have to dress up and, you know, be attractive. That is just a way to protect herself from further damage. And when I said this to her, it made sense to her. Of course, she was not doing it consciously. It was happening on a very subconscious level. But she understood. So I pushed her, I encouraged her to try and, you know, experiment with her looks and push her comfort zone. And the next session she came to, oh my God, she had dolled up. She was looking so pretty. She was wearing lipstick, kajal, bindi, earrings, nail paint. She had, you know, done her hair a certain way. Nothing too crazy. But she looked beautiful and she seemed happy, which was, you know, all the more important. She felt so much more confident. And she realized that all this while she was just hiding herself in plain sight so that nobody could even compliment her. And she received a lot of compliments from guys in her class, even from her teachers. And she felt great, you know. She was finally ready to come into her own being, which in itself would be a long process, but it was beautiful to witness, you know. And these things keep happening in the sessions every now and then, in one way or the other. But this one anecdote is very close to my heart because I've seen her inner child heal and I've seen this person blossoming into a beautiful adult. And I can't wait for her to grow more.
What would be your final words for our audience who are looking forward to building a career in this field?
My final word to the people who are interested in this field would be, one, is that, like I said earlier, don't do it just for the money. Because one, you would be in for a disappointment then, since at least in India, it's not as lucrative right now. And the struggle is, you know, definitely there. You have to study a lot. Then you have to work under other people. You have to get trained and to establish yourself as a renowned or well-earning therapist. You have to put in years of your life and earn that goodwill, right? So if that's okay by you, then of course you can consider it, but make sure that you have thought it through. Also, if you do it just for the money, then it loses its purpose because this is not an everyday job. You are literally talking to people about their, you know, age-old traumas, emotional and psychological problems, abuse, toxicity, ups and downs of their lives and whatnot. And that can get very overwhelming, especially if you don't know why you're doing this and if you're not trained for it well enough. So money itself will not suffice. It has to come from your soul. It has to give you a sense of purpose or a sense of value. Otherwise, either you'll be a bad therapist or an unhappy therapist. And neither are good for, you know, getting success in this field. And this can also be very bitter for your clients. So I'm not trying to maybe make you scared, but I'm putting a very realistic picture out there for you. Of course, if you find that this is an interesting field and it aligns with your values, it helps you get closer to your life's purpose, or you find yourself being very passionate about this field, then of course, you know, go for it. Other than that, I think you should also not approach this as a backup. That psychology is an easy subject. I didn't get through anything else, so let me just go for this. Again, that could be very risky and it could be a dicey slope. I think if all of that is, you know, taken care of, you could really enjoy this field because it gets very interesting. It gives you a lot of room to, you know, experiment with your skills, your theories, your training. All of that comes into play when you're in the field and dealing with people one-on-one. You could really enjoy this work if you are here for the right reasons. So I would suggest that do your research, do some introspection, get career counseling if you want to, because that really helps. You could also undergo some psychometric assessment, because we don't usually do that in India, but we should, so that we can take informed decisions for ourselves and for the kind of careers that we want to be in. And one more thing, you also need to take therapy for yourself before you become a therapist or while you're becoming a therapist. Because if you have not taken care of your mental health, I'm sorry, you can't do it for other people either. Even if you try, it'll be very unhealthy. So make sure that you're putting in the effort for your mental health first. And other than that, I think, yeah, just follow your instincts and do what you think works for you.
Anamika, how far do you think India has progressed when it comes to dealing with mental health issues?
I think change is coming in terms of how we perceive mental health and how we approach mental illness as, let's say, a social problem. Of course, the change is very slow and we are still not there. We are far from it. But it's happening. 5 years ago, people were not as aware or vocal about mental health as they are today. A decade ago, nobody would even dare talk about it in the open. But thanks to, you know, the woke culture and how social media has taken over our lives and how vocal and open people have become about a lot of things, a lot of taboo topics, mental health has been really prioritized in the present day scenario. A personal testament to it I can give, given how many cases I've dealt with in the past 2 years itself, because people were finally forced to address their demons and do something about it because they were all stuck at home, right? This wouldn't be the case again some years ago. So that makes me really happy. Having said that, I also feel that there is still a lot of stigma and taboo when it comes to mental health, mental illness, and therapy in general. People think therapy is a scam, it doesn't work, it's a sham, you know, it's just something that therapists do to extract money from you, and why do you need to go to somebody to, you know, get solutions for your problems and this and that, which is very, very uninformed and ignorant and problematic. We need to approach mental health from a scientific perspective. Brain is an organ, and just like any other organ, it has the ability to malfunction, and sometimes it does. So there is functional, structural, or chemical problem in the brain, for which you sometimes need therapy or medication or both. The day we understand this, I think things would improve for the better, and we would be able to save lives instead of, you know, regretting later. When somebody takes their life, we have so many discussions, and we either blame the victim or we say that we should have been there, we should have known. But why not do it while they're alive, right? That is the point. So we definitely need more awareness and more support when it comes to mental health from, I think, the system and the society, and on a very personal and professional level as well. I started Let's Heal with the intention to provide awareness and support to people who are undergoing mental health issues, just like I was. Eventually, I became a professional, and now I'm able to extend the same help professionally. But both ways, I think I can only do my bare minimum, right? I can give in my contribution. But similarly, all of us can do that. And imagine if all of us try to give, you know, our best to make this world a better place and a healed place. How many lives would be saved? So my message would be the same, that try and be kind to each other. Try to help each other. Try to listen to each other. And the best advice you can give somebody for their mental health, apart from, you know, being there for them, would be to seek therapy. Encourage them to seek professional help and do it for yourself as well. You don't have to go through anything tragic in life for that to happen. You can just do it to, you know, at least get a safe space to talk about how you feel and get some solutions if needed. So yeah, I'll not blabber more. I think I've sufficed it. Things are changing, but we need to keep going.
With this, we come to the end of this episode of Hear Me Out. I am Shruti, and you were listening to Business of Brands podcast.